The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Behind the goal line, Toffoli's wide open in front. And Wenberg trying to set him up, but it was broken up by Konechny. Uh-oh, Dickinson got victimized. Moving into Dvorak. Backhand score! Well, the Sharks killed off the penalty, but after San Jose hit the post, the Flyers moved up ice, and Sam Dickinson gets victimized by a man with more experience. That, of course, would be Dvorak. And Dvorak made a nice deke, not much of a chance there for Nedeljkovic to make the sprawling save. And all of a sudden, this game is tied 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, you know, whether you're part of the solution here long term, and we've got to keep working at it. And there's some young players that need to have some development areas that need to get better in some certain areas. There's some of our older guys need to play better in these types of games. It's a long season. We're going every other day right now. You're not going to feel great every single game. So you got to find different ways to bring something to the group, and that's what we're pushing for.
All right, good morning, everyone. We begin, as usual, with a standings check on the morning of Wednesday, December 10th. The San Jose Sharks currently occupy the third spot in the wild card rankings. On the outside, looking in, tied in points with Utah for second and 1 point back of the top wild card team, Edmonton. When we look at the overall division situation for the San Jose Sharks, they are looking up at a couple teams as the Oilers are one spot ahead of them, 1 point above in fourth with 32 points. They are 4 points back of the third place LA Kings. They are 6 points back of the second place Vegas Golden Knights, and they are 8 points back of the first place Anaheim Ducks. And I am not overreacting or underreacting to any of that, but I think this just shows you for the San Jose Sharks, who have been stuck in this back and forth kind of pattern here, except for that 1-2 game losing streak. This, as much as people might not want to admit it, this is growth from what we saw a year ago, because they're 4-6 in their last 10. If what we saw the last couple years was any indicator, it would have been more like a 2-8 in their last 10, or 1-9 in their last 10, or 1-8-1 in their last 10, something to that effect. And the Sharks are dealing with the realities of the NHL season. There is a back and forth nature to this. There is scheduling that has them going every single day. And right now, the San Jose Sharks, they seem to be able to play their best game one night and then seem to be lacking the next night. And I'm not saying that as some sort of a, you know, indictment or anything, really. It's just the fact that this is where San Jose is right now. They are not a consistent team in terms of being able to play their best game every single night. Now, they can win consistently because we've seen that this year. They're 500 in points. They are 14-14-3. That is a big, big step away from where they've been the last couple of years. What, 2 years ago they won 19 games, and last year they won 20 games. So, yeah, they are much, much more ahead of schedule compared to where they were. But again, this is still not a world-beating team. I think the Sharks are good. I think they're going to continue to threaten for a playoff spot. And the longer they do so, the more and more they'll learn about the realities of the NHL and being in the fray as opposed to being in the cellar. But when you're going up against a Flyers team that's got 15 wins entering last night's game, they're in a fight for it as well. So the Flyers at home with some wind at their sails after falling behind 1-0 were able to fight their way back into the game and really control it. And now the Flyers have 16 wins on the year. The Sharks are still sitting at 14, and those are just the margins. They're razor thin. The Sharks' effort wasn't bad or anything last night. They just were not the better team. The better team won last night. That was very, very clear. Now, it's not to say that the Sharks played some sort of an amazing game. There were some issues that I had. And the one that I'm going to keep on going back to, and I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record to some of you, but that's the fact that the Sharks are at certain points allergic to shooting. And I just can't get on board with that because they only took 18 shots last night. You know, that's 6 shots on average a period. And I know it wasn't that because in the first period they had like, I don't know, like 3 shots, something to that effect. It was like, guys, you need to be aggressive. You need to put shots on goal. You need to make things happen. And I feel like at times the Sharks continue to fall into this pattern of waiting for the perfect play. And again, looking at those shots, in the first period they had 3. That's to the 16 Philadelphia put on frame. In the second period they had 8. That's an improvement. That would be closer to the roughly 10 per period I would like them to have. And then in the third period they had 7. But that's 18. They got outshot 30-18, and that's just simply not good enough in the slightest. The Sharks also went 0-for on their power play. The power play did not look good at all last night. It looked like they, again, continue to have these issues with zone entry. And the thing that got me is on both their power plays, the first faceoff, they lose the zone possession, and immediately they have to go and reset. If you win that face-off and get set up on a power play, you can move the puck around, you can immediately start to tire out the penalty kill, and you increase your chances of scoring a goal. If you let them clear immediately, you get them a chance to get set. You give them a chance to get ready, to prepare themselves. You put the onus on the Sharks to gain that zone entry and really make something happen. And that's what they did both times. And that was what was so frustrating to me to watch those things happen. Like, come on, guys. You're better than this. You are more capable than this. And you should be able to create zone entry and zone possession on the power play. But that continues to be a problem for the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, I'm expecting more changes to come down the line. I often wonder if it's going to be Sam Dickinson getting time on the power play, if they're going to have Macklin Celebrini playing the point on the power play. You know, something just that changes things up that allows them to be that much more dangerous on the power play. And right now, they're not dangerous. And in fact, they're ceding momentum to the opposition's penalty kill and the team as a whole, which is the worst possible thing that you can have happen out of a power play. A power play should be where you shift momentum to where you give yourself a goal, to where you take advantage of the game, to where you flip the whole, you know, pendulum of where the game has been swinging, especially if you're trailing. But if you don't get anything on that penalty, like even if you don't score, you want to put them on their heels. You want to get them tired out. You want to maybe keep them, you know, out there longer than they want to be so that when the kill ends for the opposition, even when they get back to 5-on-5, you still have a gas team out there with tired legs that'll help you score a goal. You want to flip the momentum. You want to demoralize and deflate them. And that's not what the Sharks are capable of doing right now. Right now, they get, you know, the puck in and then it goes out. They had a couple games to where they were gaining a little bit more zone entry and a little bit more possession in the O zone on the power play, but that seems to have ended again. You've seen, you know, games being put together where they just can't keep the puck in the offensive zone, whether it's on the penalty kill or, excuse me, whether it's on the power play or not. And that is something that needs to change. And that's not, again, just me being a critical person. That's just saying, if you want to win games, if you want to give yourself a chance on the road, you've got to be able to make the power play into some sort of a momentum builder. And the Sharks have done a decent job with their penalty kill this year to use the penalty kill as a momentum builder. But that needs to be even more so for the power play. It's called the power play for a reason. You have a man advantage. You have a much greater ability to score than you would in any 2-minute frame of 5-on-5 play. And so if you're not taking advantage of that, then you are ceding momentum to the opposition, in my opinion. Now, you know, this game was not terrible by San Jose. This is just part of the reality of you're playing against a team that's at home. You're on the road. It's a rough schedule. We knew that going in. San Jose is still a team figuring things out in the NHL. There are still inconsistencies in their game. I know some of you are going to look at Orlov's -2 last night and think that's indicative of more than it is, but he actually made a number of pretty good plays early on in the game. The Sharks turned it over and Klingberg did a great job of back checking to break up a shot attempt that would have put the Sharks at an early deficit. I thought that was a big play for him. Obviously, he had an assist early on that allowed the Sharks to get that goal to Colin Graf, who continues to be red hot. I thought Sam Dickinson, other than one glaring mistake, played a pretty good game. I liked what we saw overall from, you know, Macklin Celebrini and William Eklund. You know, Colin Graf, Zach Ostapchuk, you know, you go down the list, Will Smith. You know, there's a lot of these guys whose games I liked. There were not many guys who were +1 last night. You know, Will Smith was +1. Macklin Celebrini was +1. Oh, and Mario Ferraro was +1. But the point is, the Sharks just did not play an aggressive enough game. They looked like they were a little bit flat. Not the flattest game that I've ever seen them play, but this is the reality of the season and the condensed schedule and the every other day. They get today to rest up as they're going to be taking on Toronto on Thursday. But, you know, they need to make sure that if they score a goal early on the road, that needs to be where the dam bursts, right? Like, that's got to be a turning point where they really put the pedal to the metal and put that game out of reach. I know that's wishful thinking, but in my opinion, if you're on the road and you get the early goal that gives you the lead, you got to put the pedal to the metal at that point and take control of the game and build upon it. And the Sharks were not able to do that. You know, they just did not have great energy. And I know that we've heard, overall from Ryan Warsofsky several times this year that he talks about his team's lack of consistent compete. And I think the Sharks actually had a decent level of compete last night. They just looked a little bit off overall. And I think that's the fatigue of the schedule and travel and all these things combined when you're a team that does not have the overwhelming talent as of yet to play your less than, you know, very, very high quality game and walk away with 2 points. You know, last year, the Sharks had to play a nearly perfect game to win. This year, they can be, you know, on their A game, not perfect, but an A game, and that'll get them a win. But they're not still to where they're playing their B game or their C game and walk away with a win. That is still the next step for this franchise. That is still the next step for this team. And that's going to take time. And we're all relatively impatient. We want to see the next best thing happen for this franchise, but it does take time. And just several times last night, you just saw them being a step behind, making the wrong decision. There was one sequence where the Sharks, when they hadn't been shooting, they finally won the puck back. Timothy Liljegren brings it into the zone, and he thinks he has somebody behind him and creates a drop pass situation, but there's no one there. And that's just kind of one of those things where it's like, if you're not putting the puck in the back of the net or even on frame, you can't turn it over as soon as you gain zone entry, and then the puck's going back the other direction. You need to make sure that you control that possession, that you get the puck deep. You know, I don't want to just be a dump and chase or a chip and chase team. I would like us to have more overall tactical ability than that. But right now, to me, it seems that you've got to be a team that gets the puck deep, establishes some sort of possession. You know, I can think back to the olden days when Joe Thornton would be behind the net and teams would be kind of be just, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Where he's going to put the puck? We're not there yet. You know, Joe Thornton, of course, one of the all-time greats. But the fact of the matter is you had a plan for when all else fails, here's how we're going to gain zone possession and zone time for a moment just to get ourselves settled. And they're not at that point of consistency. They're not at that point of ability. But I will say that even though this is another loss, I love the fact that we're watching the rapid evolution of Colin Graf before our eyes. You know, once again, he's got another goal last night. He's starting off the scoring. He's making things happen. He continues to be a smart player out there on the ice. And those type of developmental moments that are happening for players, as much as we want this team to be a playoff team this year, it is more and more about the future. And watching Colin Graf have that development, have those abilities, have those moments, have those goals, that will make him a much more dangerous player. And the fact that he is having such a rapid evolution right now and that Celebrini and Smith and Graf represent it as a trio, a college line out there together, they're young, they're energetic, they're aggressive, they have the desire to make things happen. That, to me, is indicative of what they can be in the future, because I think that's got to be a big part of their narrative. That's got to be a big part of where this team is going. It's not just about, you know, the overall rise of the team and the superstar of Yaroslav Askarov or Macklin Celebrini, but it's got to be about the continuation, the development of all these players. And we've watched, you know, last year, Colin Graf turned into a pretty good penalty killer. We saw him have that first opportunity in his career. And obviously, we knew he was smart, could win some of those battles. But, you know, this year, in addition to being that penalty killer, he's having more of an impact on the game. He's often in the right place at the right time. As I talked to Alex Stalock yesterday, if you didn't get that interview, it is on the buildup for yesterday's game versus Philadelphia. He talked about Colin Graf, you know, being in the right place at the right time, not by accident, that his hockey IQ is off the charts. But if he can start turning more of his game into an offensive upside, which you would hope there is more of if he's playing with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, that'll give the Sharks more weapons, more flexibility. Because remember, we are talking about Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Colin Graf and William Eklund as being part of that developmental trio that was drafted by San Jose. Or Graf was not drafted, but they signed him out of college. But then we also have to remember that you've got, you know, William Eklund as well. And then we're also talking about Quentin Musty. We're talking about Igor Chernyshov. Those guys are on their way probably sooner rather than later. I don't know if that's this year for certain, but you know, the way their games have been trending at the AHL level, there's a lot to be excited about. So again, you talk about Smith, you talk about Celebrini, you talk about Graf, you talk about Eklund, you talk about Chernyshov, you talk about Musty. That's six guys right there that could potentially represent your top six. And then there's Michael Misa, who, yes, we have not seen much of right now, but still, he's in the wings as well. And then there's Bisted, and you go down the list, and while we haven't known as much about Bisted's game, but, you know, I just described seven players that could represent the Sharks' top six. I think the guy that probably has the most flexibility is Colin Graf, because he can be a top-line guy, second-line guy, third-line guy. I don't specifically see him as a fourth-line guy, but I do see him as a penalty kill guy. He's obviously got ability on the power play. He's a guy that can play anywhere. And so we're talking about six, seven forwards. You bring in Bisted, we're talking about eight. You know, there's obviously more players that are going to represent this, but we have to see these guys develop, and that's got to be more of the overall focus right now than the future. Because, yes, the future is sexy. The future is attractive, and we want it to come right now with San Jose, because it would be exciting for them to make the playoffs. But this whole season is about the development of a lot of these young players and what they can be for the future. Because as the top players that have got a little bit more high draft status, like your Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, as they get more experienced in their career, their overall point per game is going to go up, which somehow doesn't seem possible for a Macklin Celebrini who's on such a tear to start this season. But they're going to be more consistent. Will Smith's game away from the puck is going to get better. Colin Graf is going to figure out this game more. William Eklund, again, I think the only thing they'll have to get out of his game is relative inconsistency. He's very streaky, but if he can be a more consistent player, then he's a bona fide star in this league. You know, Michael Misa will get more experience and gain more time. That's going to be the Sharks' path to being more consistent in these five-game East Coast road trips like they're dealing with right now. Yes, earlier this year, they went on a four-game road trip. It was mostly on the East Coast. They went, you know, 2-for-4. It had their first win of the year, which was a great overtime win against the Rangers. And then they had Macklin's overtime moment against Minnesota. You want those in the future to turn into easy wins. And yes, they are 1-2 on this road trip so far, but I definitely think they have the ability to beat Toronto. Toronto has not been what they're capable of this year. And then when they finish up this road trip by taking on the Pens, who are, yes, a very surprising team this year, but I think that's a team that San Jose can beat. You know, they have a chance to still go over 500 on this road trip. So I think that's got to be the goal. 1-2 out of the first three. Now they got to look at going 2-for-2 on the final two. Then they're home for three. Then they go back out on the road for three, including the Christmas break. But it's a busy schedule. It's every other day. It's punishing. It's brutal. But this is what they signed up for. You know, last year was just about surviving, right? It was like, oh my God, get through this stretch. You know, see if you can get, you know, a couple of wins on this road trip. You know, we've talked consistently this year about wanting to win the road trip, about wanting to have good homestands, winning homestands. That's part of the narrative that wasn't there before. And it's because Macklin Celebrini has taken such a big jump. It's because Colin Graf is becoming a more consistent player. It's because William Eklund is, again, ascending throughout his career. It's because all of these players are representing more of what the Sharks' future can be. While we've seen, again, continued high-level performances from an Alex Wenberg, Ty Dellandre has stepped it up big this year. He got robbed on a great look at yesterday's game that would have been a big moment for San Jose. But, you know, I'd rather have these 4-1 losses than the 6-0, 7-1, et cetera, that we saw so many times over the last few years. And also, what's with this 4-1 scoreline? The Sharks lose 4-1, win 4-1, lose 4-1. Let's have a different score, eh? All right, let's get into some of these highlights out of last night's game. Colin Graf, again, his overall evolution as of late shows him turning into what I felt he has been overall, which is a different version of a Logan Couture-type player. Highly competitive. I don't know that he has as much offensive upside. That said, maybe he does because suddenly he's scoring goals. But Colin Graf has been an absolute stud as of late for San Jose, and he got the scoring started again yesterday for the Sharks.
Now here come the Sharks down the ice. Will Smith into the offensive zone, scoots behind the net, stick handles, holds, throws it across the ice. Klingberg in front, the shot, score! Colin Graf taking the pass in front, and there was nothing that Vladar could possibly do, and that play was set up by some great vision from Will Smith, cutting behind the Flyer net and then circling back to the off-wing circle. Colin Graf positioned himself in front, and Colin Graf has a three-game goal-scoring streak, and the Sharks, on their first shot on goal of the game, at 11:33 of period number one, take the 1-0 lead.
The only problem with that is the Sharks were already getting outshot something like 12-0 at that point. It's like, guys, shoot the puck. Stop being allergic to shooting. And I'm saying that obviously with a wink and a smile, but they've got to be more aggressive. Like, yes, you're leading 1-0 at that point, but the underlying metrics of that game say that you do not have the ozone, say that you do not have the possession, say that you do not have control of the game. And that would be relatively accurate, is that lead was relatively short-lived. The San Jose Sharks would then concede that lead 7 minutes later, roughly, and suddenly it's a 1-1 game.
Behind the goal line, Toffoli's wide open in front, and Wenberg trying to set him up, but it was broken up by Konechny. Uh-oh, Dickinson got victimized. Moving into Dvorak, backhand score! Well, the Sharks killed off the penalty, but after San Jose hit the post, the Flyers moved up ice, and Sam Dickinson gets victimized by a man with more experience. That, of course, would be Dvorak, and Dvorak made a nice deke. Not much of a chance there for Nedeljkovic to make the sprawling save, and all of a sudden, this game is tied 1-1.
And again, that is a late-period goal. Those hurt, right? Like, you want to just get into the intermission, keep it a 1-0 game, but instead, that would be one of two late period goals that the Sharks would give up throughout this game. Well, three, actually, if you want to count the empty netter, but that was a little bit more of a foregone conclusion. But those hurt. You just need to get into the dressing room clean at that point. And then you get out in the second period. Former Shark Carl Grundstrom, maybe with a little revenge on his mind. Early goal, 3:20 of the second. He gives Philadelphia the lead they would not turn back from.
Behind the goal line, Hathaway skates near sideboards. Sends back to the point. Sanheim the shot. Blocked by Dellandrea. Shot to the net. Score! Dellandrea blocked the shot. And now the puck was fired in by Nick Seeler. In front of the net, Carl Grundstrom was providing some traffic. He might have tipped it. And the Flyers take the 2-1 lead.
And at this point, I'm still thinking, all right, the Sharks need to be more aggressive. They need to be less passive. They need to be more, you know, involved in this game. And it's 2-1. And they have some decent pushback, but this was the killer. Noah Cates, 12 seconds left in the second period, doubles that lead for Philadelphia. And you could see the deflation out there in the Sharks. You know, not as bad as years prior, but to me it was evident, like, oof, that one stung.
Bobby Brink lead pass on the left. Shot. Score! A quick play up the ice. Bobby Brink gets it to Noah Cates. And the University of Minnesota Duluth product snaps it home to make it 3-1 Flyers with 10.9 seconds to go in the second period. That's a tough one for the Sharks to give up. Flyers 3, Sharks 1.
Sharks would then have their chances in the third period. They had a power play. They had some more opportunities, but they just did not look like they had that A game all night long. And it culminated in an empty netter for the Flyers. To make it 4-1, that would be good for your final.
Off the faceoff, Kurashev tries to get it. Goodrow holds it, throws it back toward the point. Liljegren lost it. Empty net for Konechny. Pass is blocked by Orlov, but he shoots again. And he scores!
Let's get to the post-game reaction and hear what head coach Ryan Warsawski had to say after his team's loss.
Yeah, they got on us early, and we just couldn't get out of it.
Is it disappointing, a game like today where having a net start, an e-bug there, could have been a rallying point, but instead that's how you guys started?
I mean, we had good energy. I thought good game plan on how we wanted to approach this one, and we obviously didn't execute it.
Ravel's talked about just the inconsistency. Like, you guys play one good game, like you guys in East Carolina, and a follow-up with a not-so-good game here. How can you guys kind of get back or, you know, get to playing some more consistent hockey?
Keep working at it. Keep teaching. Keep coaching. Keep meeting with guys individually and as a group to get an understanding of how we need to play each and every night.
How do you guys, you know, game where frustration maybe builds and builds and builds from, you know, players and coaches, how do you guys, I guess, work through that as the game goes along here?
Yeah, you know, you try to make some adjustments. You try to relay the message, and you know, and I think we say the right things right now, but those gotta start turning into action.
How do you? Yeah, it's a lot easier said than done. How do you start seeing those actions? What do you have to do to send messages or get guys to do what you're asking them to do?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to, you know, whether you're part of the solution here long term, and we've got to keep working at it. And there's some young players that need to have some development areas that need to get better in some certain areas. As some of our older guys are going to play better in these types of games. It's a long season. We're going every other day right now. You're not going to feel great every single game. So you got to find different ways to bring something to the group, and that's what we're pushing for.
John Klingberg had another fairly decent game from him. What have you seen just from last game and this game? I know everybody struggled, but he had some good moments in this one again too.
Yeah, I think when John is patient and at the blue line and distributes the puck and plays a simple, steady game, he's very effective. When he doesn't do that is where he gets in trouble.
So it seemed a couple of things that stood out tonight was one, just trying to get a clean entry through the neutral zone. And once you guys did have that entry, it was hard to muster up something, even a couple of shots on goal or rebounds.
Yeah, first period, neutral zone turnovers were not good. And then we do forecheck it, and we do get on them in their defense. And our forecheck, we had a little bit of success, had a couple looks. But it comes down to little details we didn't do tonight, and that's what gives us the result we got. Little details, we did the right things in Carolina, we got the result. So hopefully this is a teaching moment for our group.
Everybody thought of Nedeljkovic in the net overall, seemed like he was pretty solid. Other than maybe that third goal.
Yeah, he was really good.
Some of those little details that you liked in the Carolina game that you guys did not do here.
Our puck play, our line changes. We guys committed to the process. Every guy was on and saying the right things and doing the right things. They were doing their job in that particular zone and that particular part of our structure. We line change twice in that second period. One ends up in the back of our net. We have soft puck play, and that creates chances against. And then we're not hard enough on our own end, and that creates motion and chances again. So right back to the drawing board.
This is one of those moments where, you know, you mentioned the end of the homestand, just you think you guys have it, and then it's a drop-off in play because you guys keep going. Is it almost managing not getting too high and not getting too low right now?
No, I don't think so. It's really getting too high, getting too low. It's not. It's the NHL. You got to bring your game every single night, and until we figure that out, we're going to probably be in this here a little bit.
Because you guys had to bring in Justin to back up tonight, assuming that Jarl is not feeling better. Is there, had to call somebody up for tomorrow? Is there a concern that he won't be available for the Toronto game?
I'll talk to Mike tonight and we'll figure it out.
How do you see that sort of breakdown in that first period, which led to that breakaway goal?
Yeah, we know the kid takes off, whatever his name is, and he does a really good job of getting breakaways in this league. It was direct in our pre-scout, and you know, we dip in the offensive zone, and he's off to the races. So you know, it's frustrating when we show things in the pre-scout, and we are very well aware of things that they do, and we don't execute it. You know, that's an issue, so we got to work on that.
Especially in the first period, was there an issue with just seemed like the guys were, you know, they were reacting to the puck. They weren't reacting to the man. They just were kind of just chasing the puck around kind of instead of.
No, I mean, in the defensive zone, I mean, we're in there, but we bounce off people.
And let's hear a little bit from goalie Alex Nedeljkovic, who, of course, was surprisingly the starter, Yaroslav Askarov, dealing with an illness. But Ned was not the problem last night.
Words he told me this morning, probably. And then, you know, Asky didn't skate this morning, so kind of assumed from there. But you're always ready. I mean, we had the day off yesterday, so, you know, this morning everybody was going to skate, and you were going to get yourself ready to go for whatever happened. And, you know, just they're always ready to go.
As far as you know, how is Jarl doing?
I think, unfortunately, as the day went on, he got a little worse. I think the original plan, they wanted, you know, he wanted to be out there with us, but, yeah, I don't think he's doing too hot, so.
I mean, you found out, you know, that Justin's your backup goalie. As a guy who maybe wasn't even coming into today, you know, when he woke up originally knowing he's a starter, I mean, how much pressure do you put yourself to, hey, I got to make sure I stay in the net?
There's no pressure at all. No more added pressure. I mean,
you know, I want to play good. Like, it doesn't matter who's backing up or who's in the net, like, who we're playing, I want to play good every single night. So the second I start thinking like that, that's usually when things start going south. So I didn't really look at tonight any differently than the other night or any night before that.
It's cold and flu season. No surprise and no shocker that the Sharks have to deal with that. Just like the rest of us, we know there's a bug that's been going around the team. We know that that's the case for other teams around the NHL as well. So the Sharks would be no different. But the Sharks now need to get ready for their next opponent, which is going to be Toronto. And the media with Macklin in town is going to be insane. So that is Thursday at 4, 3:30 start time right here on the Sharks Audio Network for pregame. We are all out of time. I will see you on Thursday for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.